life is a lot sometimes. And I know for me, when I feel like I have too many responsibilities and I have too many things going on, my calendar is too full, that's usually when I want to take a solo trip. When I just want to take a step back, go somewhere, explore a different city, be around completely different people. It's almost like jumping from one life into another life. Just being able to be free from that responsibility. I can do something for me, not feel so overwhelmed, have that step back, and then I can go back to my responsibility-filled life. Welcome back to Merging Into Life, a podcast by AAA Northeast, here to help you navigate through smarter, more intentional choices. I'm your host for the travel series, Kim Rodriguez. Adventure travel means different things to different people. For some people, it's going to the furthest land and experiencing a completely different culture. For me lately, it's been about exploring my own backyard. I'm currently on a mission to explore all 50 states. This is something that as an avid traveler, I've never done before, but I'm really excited to hear all about what our country has to offer. And there's no better way to explore that than by talking to our next guest who has explored all 419 national parks. Micah Meyer is a speaker, filmmaker, and the first person to visit every single National Park Service site in one continuous journey. Micah's focus continues to be travel beyond convention and using his expertise to engender others' dreams. Thank you so much for joining me, Micah.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I'd love to start by just learning a bit more about what initially drew you to the outdoors. I know that you went to college for singing and you're a classically trained vocalist. So I'm so curious about how you made that transition and what made you decide to pursue like a vocation around traveling and embracing the outdoors. I know you started in Nebraska, but tell me more.
I like talking about Nebraska because I think so often when we think of outdoor adventures, we imagine the mountains of Colorado or people who grew up in Seattle and went camping every weekend. And that was not my reality. Like my mom was a teacher, a music teacher, and my dad was a pastor. And so he worked on Sundays. And so we did not do the weekend camping trip. I was not part of the Boy Scouts. Like I grew up with three older sisters who all did dance team and musical theater. And whenever the like high school theater show needed a kid, like I was the one to play the part. And I say all that in the sense of, I think many of us can feel like the outdoors is not for us or that we're not that type of person because of our backgrounds. And I hope if anything, that my background shows that that is just completely bunk because I come from one of the flattest states in the country. I have 2 degrees in classical singing, and yet I set a world record when it comes to the outdoors. So if it's possible for me to get out there and do this with my background, then I think, you know, really anybody, wherever you are, no matter how you grew up, you have the ability and the expertise to go out and enjoy our nature.
How did you go from being so green to now being someone who holds a record for visiting every single national park? That's huge. What inspired you to do that?
Yeah, well, my dad passed away before he got to retire. He was 58 and I was 19. And I kind of was on this path of like, you go to school, you work hard, you get good grades, and then you go to college, you get a good job. And then once you do that job and you work hard your whole life, then when you turn 65, you get to retire and rent an RV and go to all these amazing places and do all this stuff. And it's the payoff for a life's worth of hard work. And when I saw my dad pass away at 58, he sort of suddenly got cancer out of nowhere. And after a 3-year battle, he passed. And it just shook that sort of timeline for me. And it showed me, oh, you can do everything right. Like my dad was an award-winning campus minister. At one point, he had the largest Lutheran campus ministry in America. So like he did everything right. And yet he didn't get that payoff. And so that at age 19 really shook me. And my dad was a big fan of road trips. And so a few weeks after his funeral, I got in his car and I took my first ever independent road trip. And his sunflower seeds were still on the floor. It still smelled like his pipe. And I had an old school Atlas. This was like pre-cell phone GPS. And I took my first ever road trip because I just thought I wanted to do something to honor him and connect with him. And then that first road trip was so moving for me and so helpful and healing to get over his passing that I ended up doing one every year from then on around the time of his passing, April 29th. And that's kind of what inspired this world record journey is every year I did that. And I just learned more and more about how precious life is. And I really made it a goal that when I turned 30, I was going to do one of my retirement goals to honor my dad.
That's incredible. So from your days when you were on the road constantly, did you ever have a moment where you just stopped and thought, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is my life right now.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the most amazing parts of that 3-year journey was there is a National Park Service site that more people climb Mount Everest every year than visit this National Park Service site. It's actually the least visited Park Service site in the entire system. And it's on the Aleutian Island Range of Alaska. So sort of those islands that make their way, if you know where Anchorage is on a map and you head west, they kind of lead towards Russia. And so it's way out in the Aleutian Islands. It's a super volatile place as far as weather. Like there, you never really know what you're going to get, which is why it's so hard to reach. And to reach this National Park Service site, they recommend you have a week of waiting for like a 3-hour window because you need to have the weather be good enough in the town of King Salmon to take off in like a little seaplane. You need to have the weather be good enough in Aniakchak National Monument and Preserve, the Park Service site. And then the weather for like the hour-long flight in between has to be good. And so getting there is just, it takes an amount of time, perseverance, and luck. And I had only scheduled 5 days to reach Aniakchak as part of my whole 3-year journey where everything was scheduled down to the day. And on that 5th day, the weather was not good enough. And I was just like, oh my gosh, it's going to throw off months of plans. Like, I'm doomed. The pilot said, we can try to take off. We can try to make it happen. I can't guarantee anything. By the way, you have to pay us the $5,000 that it costs to rent this private plane, whether or not we make it into the park. And we ended up making it into the park. The pilot, he landed in the park and he goes, that's the first time I've ever done this. And we're all like, thanks for telling us after you landed. So that was one of those moments where you're just like, I'm standing in a place that so few humans have ever stood. And we're here right now. And like, it's not storming. And we think we're going to make it back out alive.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, it was a magical moment. If people go to my website and go to my blog, there's a whole blog that I write about it. And I made a video and I interviewed all of us in the plane ahead of time. Like, do you think we're going to make it? And I interviewed us afterwards. And it's so funny to see people's faces because you can just see like how much relaxed they are afterwards having made it.
Seeing that you've been through so many adventures and especially with this epic adventure, how would you say, I mean, obviously you're continuing with your travels. How would you say the idea of adventure has evolved and changed for you?
Maybe unless you grow up in Manhattan or LA, like maybe you feel this way, but I always felt like there was way more out there in the world than my hometown could offer. And so I sort of grew up with this like burning desire to just go everywhere and see everything and meet everyone. And I wanted to go to every location on the planet Earth and just experience everything. Sort of the older I get, I'm a little more selective now with my adventures. You go to enough cathedrals in Europe or you go to enough museums in South America or et cetera, et cetera. You start to see similarities, not to say that every place isn't special in its own way. Before you travel and see so much of the world, you have these ideas about how magical everywhere is going to be. For me, it's more about intention of where I'm going. Like rather than saying, I just want to check this country off my list or this state off my list, I try to pick an event that I know I'll really enjoy or a convention where I know I'll meet people who have similar interests as me. And to me, that's kind of more exciting, building my adventures now around people and around hobbies and interests, as opposed to just wanting to say I physically covered every corner of the map.
Let's say that there's someone out there who wants to start having more adventures, wants to start taking charge of their life. What would you say are some myths or misconceptions that you hear often about enjoying outdoor travel?
I've met so many people over the years from every walk of life. And to some people, enjoying the outdoors is a family reunion and a cookout. And they go to a state park and the kids are running around and playing with twigs and digging in the dirt and looking at ants. And to other people, it's hiking a 14er in Colorado. And both experiences are just as valid. So definitely don't take yourself out of the race before you start. And don't discount your interests just because they might feel simple. I live in Minneapolis, which has one of the best city park systems in the country. They say 97% of Minneapolitans live within a 10-minute walk of a city park. And so I really love enjoying my city parks. There are so many ways to experience outdoor adventure beyond just the stuff you see in ads.
I think sometimes one of the biggest challenges that people have when they're planning trips, and you touched on this a bit earlier, is the myth of later, right? I think a lot of people also feel really guilty for taking time off work and they feel like they're never fully ready. How can we shift our mindset to start making space for these kinds of experiences?
It's tough. To anybody who is listening to this who feels that way, like, I get it. I mean, we live in a culture where we're sort of conditioned to work. It's like you get a car payment or a house payment and now or student loans and you've got debt and you're like, I have to work. I think, especially in the US, we are really conditioned to build our life around our job. And as I traveled to other countries, they kind of laugh at us and they're like, why don't you take your vacation? Or like, of course you should take a vacation because then you will be well rested and you won't burn out. I think it's just, it's acknowledging that and saying, you know what? I know there's a lot of pressure. But like the earth will still keep spinning if I take a 3-day weekend, or the earth will still keep spinning if I set an out of office for 5 days. The more you do it, the less scary it becomes. And then it's just easier to take your vacation days that you've been earned or that you've earned or been promised or are part of your compensation.
Whether you're chasing fall foliage, stargazing in the mountains, or setting up camp by the lake, your ride matters. AAA members save up to 20% off the base rate of all rentals with Hertz. So you can get that extra rugged SUV for your next off-road adventure. So what are you waiting for? Check out AAA.com/Hertz and get going. What are some of the benefits that you have discovered by saying yes to something that initially felt that maybe you were a little apprehensive or you were intimidated? I'm sure traveling to all 419 national parks was intimidating. What are some of the lessons that you've learned and some of the benefits that you've gained from pushing yourself?
I think too often we are motivated more by fear in all aspects of our life. Fear of what could go wrong, fear of what we might say, fear of something that could happen. And we don't lead by love. We don't lead with the assumption that everything will work out, that we will have a beautiful experience, that we will say the right thing. And so what I love about travel is that it's really helped me overcome that sort of fear of the unknown or fear of others that I think we're just like evolutionarily made to have. And so I think a great way to overcome that is to start small. Maybe start out with London, because it's a foreign country, they have a different currency, but they still speak English. And so go on a London tour first, and then you realize, okay, I can handle this. So then maybe the next trip you do Paris, and it's a different language, but you've already gotten over those fears of those other things. And then maybe the next trip is Morocco. And so by taking these baby steps, you can really start to conquer some big adventures, and they don't become fearful anymore.
I love that. Would you say that starting small would be a good place for someone, like let's say someone who doesn't have a lot of PTO or they only have their weekends to work with? Along with starting small, how would you recommend that they start exploring?
I always advocate traveling based on your hobbies and interests. So pickleball is becoming a really big thing. I love pickleball. I was recently looking at a tournament in Columbus, Ohio that was a pickleball tournament. And so I think it's a great thing to look at your hobbies and say, I really like doing blank. Is there a gathering or a convention or a tournament or something around my interests? Because then you go to those places and you get to meet people who share your hobbies, and that opens up the location in a whole new way and just makes you way more comfortable. So I would definitely look at your interests first. And when it comes to national parks, Actually, the cool thing is that every single U.S. state and territory has at least one National Park Service site.
While we're on the topic of national parks, what are the few national park sites that are in the Northeast that people may not know about, but you feel like they're totally worth visiting?
Yeah, there's so many actually in the Northeast with National Park Service sites. And I think a lot of people, when they hear national parks, they instantly think Grand Canyon, Death Valley, Mount Rainier, these big parks out west. And actually, our National Park Service manages lots of different sites, like the Thomas Edison National Historical Park is in northern New Jersey. That's a really cool examination of like all of the inventions he had and all the impacts he had on American culture. You can go to the home of Teddy Roosevelt. His house is like full of all the animals that he killed on his safaris. And so it's kind of like going into a Jumanji game as you go into his house. That's out on Long Island. There are sites like in Massachusetts, Cape Cod National Seashore is super beautiful. And you compare that with a trip to Provincetown. So many people take the ferry out from Boston, but you can actually drive out that way to Provincetown. So you can go to all these spots along the seashore as you're heading up there. There's also some really quirky sites like the New Bedford Whaling National Historical Park. That's all about the history of whaling in America and sort of our earlier years as a country when the like physical whale was used for a lot of products that we now don't use whales for. There's the African Burial Ground National Monument, which is in Lower Manhattan, like surrounded.
I've been to that one. Yeah, it's really cool.
Really?
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
How'd you find out about it?
I think I found out about it through a Google search, but I have been, yeah, it's all the way down in Lower Manhattan and it's really awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a ton in the New York City area, like a dozen, basically. And even things like Hamilton's house, it's on like the northern edge of Manhattan. It used to be when he was alive, it was like the country. But Hamilton Grange, you can go to his house. And so when I was in New York and saw Hamilton the musical that day before I saw the show, I went to the Hamilton Grange National Park Service site. And it just added so much to seeing the musical. So I think there are a lot of fun things you can do when you're traveling that maybe you're doing stuff that's like a modern tourist popular event. And there's a National Park Service site nearby that probably somehow ties into it.
Yeah. I love that idea too, of integrating it, being able to integrate a national park into what you're already doing. For any newbie travel outdoors or anyone that's new to just national parks in general, are there any go-to tips that you have maybe regarding like gear or just practical tips that you have for people?
Yeah. So the number one piece of advice I give people when they're visiting a National Park Service site is so often you can drive into these parks. And so people drive up, they pay their entry fee or they show their parks pass. They get the map from the ranger and they immediately drive to like the trailhead they've been thinking about or to the location they've been wanting to go to. And I always say that's the absolutely wrong thing to do. The first thing you should do is go to the visitor center, because at every visitor center, they're either going to have a park ranger or they'll have a volunteer. And I always go talk to them because number one, there's often trail closures and you might drive 20 miles into the park, find out it's closed, and then you wasted an hour of driving. So I always talk to them to find out like today, what are the conditions? What are the things we need to know about? But then what I love to do is I will tell the volunteer or the parks ranger, these are the things that really interest me. Maybe you say, hey, I've got some mobility issues and I really like hikes that are 1 mile total, but I really like loop hikes instead of out and back. And these people are going to be able to basically design a custom itinerary for you on the spot. So these are experts who can craft you a bespoke custom vacation with a snap of a finger. So don't skip the visitor center and just go to what you think you need to go to. Always talk to the local experts.
So before we go, can you share a little bit more about what's coming up next for you? I think you have another documentary in the works. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I do. Yeah. For anyone listening right now, you can go online and type in Canyon Chorus. And that is the name of my current short film that is touring the world right now with the Banff Mountain Center Film Festival tour. So basically, one of the largest outdoor film festivals in the world has deemed my film as one of the best 30 outdoor films of the year. And it's only 16 minutes. And so I tell people that it's kind of like a Ted Lasso episode, like you'll both laugh and you'll cry. But get on YouTube and type in Canyon Chorus or go to my website, MicahMeyer.com. You can watch it there for free as well. Based on the success of that short film, I'm working on a feature-length documentary, which is called Wild Goose Chase, which is all about that three-year journey I did to Avery National Park Service site, told through the story of a wild Canadian goose that followed me for 4 days and three nights. And many people believe that this goose was the spirit of my father, because geese are the most symbolic and important animal in Lutheranism. So a lot of folk have heard the story of George the Goose and are convinced that it was my dad coming back to find a way to join me on this national parks journey.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Micah, for joining me. This was a really awesome conversation.
It's a pleasure.
Big thanks to Micah for joining me on the podcast. I've learned so much from our conversation. I couldn't relate more to just being present in the moment and knowing that adventure travel is whatever you want it to be. You don't have to go across the globe. You can still explore something new, even if it's in your own backyard. Thanks for listening to Merging Into Life. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could use a little encouragement to start their own journey. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of AAA Northeast, AAA, and/or its affiliates.